podcast is generously brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok.
Comments made on the Saratok Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Saratok Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Greetings, my name is Derek Lane, and along with Hope Povenmire, we bring you part two of Saratek's coverage of CSUN 2015.
We have interviews from Kurzweil Educational Systems, the TSA, Accessimed, and AI Squared, with a few other nuggets along the way.
So stay tuned.
Reporting for the Saratok Podcast Network, this is Josh Valoya here, and I am with Steve Baum of Kurzweil Educational Systems. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. You got some new things coming up?
Well, the major new thing that is the reason why I would be here is version 14 of Kurzweil 1000. Kurzweil 1000 is our reading machine software for the blind.
Yep, customer, I use it. Yep, okay. Great program.
And it's been around for really a long time now. But it's also been at version 13 for a long time, and so I was really pleased to basically be given a fairly free hand and told, you know, go make version 14. So I have. Version 14 is on the market, and I'm pleased at the reception it's getting, and, you know, it's more of the same, except, of course, it's always a little difficult with a product this big and this involved and with this big a user base.
Sure.
To know what to do next. One answer is given to you by not the market, but by the sort of technical ecology of the environment that the product is in. It better work on the latest operating system.
Sure.
It better support whatever the popular voices are that are out there. It needs new OCR because there is new OCR available, so it's got that.
What engines are you using right now?
We use FineReader, Abbey FineReader, and it's up to whatever the latest version is of FineReader, and I'm skipping because I simply don't remember the
numbers. That's quite okay. That's all right.
It is also using the latest version of OmniPage.
Excellent.
And it always did. It's just we used to call it ScanSoft.
Sure.
And that, oddly enough, was because the people who were selling it to us insisted that we not use the copyrighted term OmniPage. Then all our competitors used the word OmniPage, and we went back to them and said, why did you say that? And they said, we never said that. So, you know, maybe our misunderstanding, but now we're calling it OmniPage.
We're all on the same page here, the OmniPage, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And for the OCR itself, there were, in fact, huge changes to the underlying API of how to get it to work. So that was sort of, from a technical perspective, a lot of effort and work. The changes in terms of what it does, I would argue primarily they're working more and more in the direction of document structure. They're more interested in things like headers and footers and subscripts and superscripts and what they mean and how to do that kind of thing. And from a strict OCR perspective, they're more interested in cameras than they used to be.
Right.
Because camera devices are big. That's probably the biggest new source of images that they're getting, and they have all sorts of special problems to be dealt with.
Lighting and shadows and all that kind of stuff.
Lighting, shadows, and a greater degree of freedom as to exactly how you position the camera relative to the page. It's not just X and Y skew. It could now be that the top end of the picture is closer to the image than the bottom end.
Sure.
And that makes a huge difference. So stuff like that, yes, become more important for OCR vendors. Let's see, the American Heritage Dictionary has been updated to the latest release. So
excellent. Nice
that's
resource
there.
From right within the program.
Yeah, it's there, and we might as well use the current version.
Sure.
So we do now. I went to a new spell checker, and I did that largely because the one we were using is no longer manufactured, and I didn't have to pay anybody for it. That's the good news. The bad news is I couldn't update it in any,
right.
You know,
and new words are being added to the dictionary all the time, and so you wanted to make sure that it recognizes things like podcast and whatever else.
Sure. So I'm using an open source dictionary called Hunspell. It is the dictionary also used by applications like OpenOffice. A positive consequence of that is that if you need a dictionary we do not supply automatically, like you really want the Gaelic dictionary, you can probably find it. You can probably download it, and you can very likely teach Kurzweil 1000 how to open it and how to use it.
Very cool.
That's all built in and hopefully works. I say hopefully because I haven't had a volunteer.
You know, Gaelic is a very rare language. It's a good, you know, good example, but
right.
Yeah, there's no way to know for sure.
Right, but that's the intent of those sorts of feature changes. There are a lot of features that are sort of small implementations of things users have suggested over the years. One thing that I've been very honored to be a part of this whole enterprise for so many years is that users really care and are often very, if you give them a chance, and they're often very willing to tell you what they want next.
Right. And
you would think that every software application would work that way. They don't. You know, even for the Kurzweil 3000, which is sold primarily to school systems, it's very hard to get a teacher to tell me what they want next.
And they're focused a lot of times on preparing lesson plans for the students and all that. So
they're deeply time-stressed. Yeah. They don't feel like they have the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, my audience, the blind user, is very, very open with suggestions as to what I ought to do next, and I do try to pay attention.
Sometimes we forget the amount of work that the developers put into these very robust applications and, you know, timetables and that sort of thing.
You know, it takes time, but I'd rather, you know, it's important to me to hear from customers and to hear what they want next. I'm trying to think of big things, and it's sort of escaping me, but,
that's okay.
You know.
That's okay. You've been with Kurzweil for quite some time, then. You've been working, doing this for you personally. You've been working on this project for...
I guess I would argue I'm one of the founders of the original Kurzweil educational system.
Sure.
That I was in the 87.
Oh, that's no nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it's been a while. I was involved in the original Kurzweil computer products. I started there in 82. I'm in no sense a founder. That started in 76.
Sure.
So I've been around in this particular niche of technology for a long time.
Excellent.
At this point, I also do the Kurzweil 3000 as well.
Gotcha.
Trying to think of fun features. There's one that is new and that I'm not even sure how to use yet.
Okay.
But it's my fault, so I should describe it. I sometimes read using a Kindle.
Okay.
And my problem for a lot of what I read is I lose track of the names of the characters in a book very quickly. I don't remember them.
Right, especially if you're power reading. Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll pick as an example a mystery novel. You get to some page and suddenly you know who did it. It's got to be Blair, except you don't know who the hell Blair is or where he was introduced or any of this.
Maybe page 4 and you're on 237. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is now a feature, poorly named, I think, but it's called Go To Phrase. You can type in, let's say, Blair Hodgkin or whatever his name was, and it will show you every reference to Blair Hodgkin or to Hodgkin or to Blair throughout the entire document.
It can be a very useful research tool also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you can go to, let's say, the first of those references, and after you really know who this guy is, you can change the description and have it be a description that makes sense to you about who this guy Blair is.
Oh, so this could actually be a really useful tool for people doing lesson plans for teachers, you know, so you could have, say, for example, creating character profiles for literature classes. I could see that being a good application for that.
And my example was, you know, character profiles, but it could also be technical terms, it could be other, whatever you happen to want to do in that kind of way. It looks like, it works very much like the bookmark mechanism, but it's not a bookmark, and it can be saved from session to session. So you can keep all those things, and they become a useful study aid and hopefully teaching aid. So that's the idea. I'm glad you picked up on that so quickly. That's great.
Can you link those between different documents that you've scanned, or is that to a specific document and it can't be passed on?
Right now it is to a specific document. That is a good idea, though. Okay. I was going to think about whether or not you could extract it, but I don't think you can at all. I don't think there's any extraction of those because it's not quite a bookmark.
Right, right.
So I can do that.
Yeah, I could see that being a useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
So you Kurzweil 1000, and that's the big thing, the version 14.
Right.
And what's the status on other platforms besides Windows? I know you probably get asked that a lot.
I get asked that a lot. I also keep raising it as sort of what I would like to do is, a product for, basically, I think Mac, but as an obvious thing, it would also be possible to take chunks of technology on Android and iPhone, maybe not the whole thing.
Right.
In part because I don't want to step on competitive toes, but in part because you increasingly, in those platforms, get into casual reading.
Right.
And the casual reading business is a wonderful, important, great thing to work on. I think there are other players who are already way further along in it than a Cambium or a Kurzweil would be, because
sure.
We're very education-oriented. So that means we're very book-oriented.
So, but you don't have any immediate plans to expand out to, say, the Mac platform or what have you at this time?
Yeah, I would couch that as saying the company does not have any such plans.
Okay. You would like to.
Me,
sure. As soon as they give you the green light, you're all in.
Right. But I also do work on the Kurzweil 3000. So,
gotcha.
A fair amount of my time
is booked. Correct?
That has for years.
Okay.
And the Mac version has been enhanced periodically, step by step. And there are interesting things that could be done to blend or to take some of its technology, blend it with some other ideas, and do some interesting stuff in the blindness space. But whether that will happen or not is, at this moment I would have to say it's a guess.
Okay, so, fair enough. And let's see, anything else that perhaps we might have missed? I know you have some connected to Kurzweil 3000, you have some, cloud expansion, things you've been doing there for a while now?
An important aspect about Kurzweil 3000, since it's sold largely to school systems, institutions, is that it's very group-oriented, and that means nowadays very cloud-oriented. So it has something they call a universal library. A teacher will put assignments, books to be read, other things into that library. Students will check it out from there. They will have individual accounts in the cloud. And beyond that, there are apps that are browser-oriented. There are also an app for the iPhone called Firefly that is very oriented towards the Universal Library and those sorts of things. Those are really exciting kinds of technologies. It's the direction that the 3000 absolutely should have gone in and has. And what they're doing is really, really neat.
And are there any plans to pull any of those features, and do you see any of that being relevant to the 1000 line of software?
The main thing I've been able to do in that domain is to make sure that the people who do Firefly are aware of the fact that there are customers of theirs who cannot see the screen, and that Firefly itself should be as accessible as possible. That's important to me. I believe it is important to the company as a whole. And every once in a while, when I remind them of that, they will take a sweep through their product and make sure it can, in fact, be used. So Firefly, by the way, is by itself a free app, but it is downloadable and I believe usable by someone who's blind. That's important to me.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you very much. Again, this is Joshua Loy for the Saratoga Podcast Network. Reporting from CSUN 2015, this is Joshua Loy with the Saratoga Podcast Network. I'm here with Durrett from the
TSA headquarters.
There you go. And then if you could maybe perhaps tell our listeners what the TSA is doing here at CSUN and kind of what you're explaining for folks.
Well, we're here to do diversity outreach and recruit for individuals with disabilities. We are offering employment opportunities primarily at TSA headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. thought this would be a good venue to come to actually get the word out that TSA does hire individuals with disabilities.
And what types of opportunities, if you can elaborate? That's totally fine if you can.
We have what we refer to as professional opportunities, whether it's human resources, IT, our intelligence area, acquisitions, finance. TSA is just like any other federal agency or large corporation. We have various program areas that require expertise.
Excellent. And if somebody wanted to find out a little bit more information on how to do that, maybe they're not able to attend CSUN because they live considerable distance away.
They can go to our website, which is www.tsa.gov, where it's going to give you information about all the employment opportunities. Or they can go directly to the USA Jobs website, where all federal agencies advertise their vacancy announcements or employment opportunities.
Excellent. Any social media that is potentially relevant to people wanting to know more about TSA or and related agencies?
Not at the present time.
Okay, and that's fine. All right, well, again, the website one more time.
www.tsa.gov.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Reporting from CSUN 2015, this is Joshua Loya for the Saratalk Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Reporting for the Saratalk Podcast Network, my name is Joshua Loya, and I have Mel Dashner here. Hello, sir. And we are at the booth for
Origin Instruments Corporation.
Excellent. And please tell me what you do. It's some pretty innovative stuff.
Sure. Yeah. What we do here, Josh, is we make computer access products for people who have mobility impairments. And so our classic product is called a head mouse. It allows to use your head control to control the mouse pointer on screen just by head movement. So you move side and up and down, the mouse pointer moves in direct proportion to your head movement, so that you can then access a computer just like anybody else would with a desktop mouse. We then also have an on-screen keyboard we put up on the screen that allows you to send text into any application. And we have a dwell selection technique to do button click. So you move the pointer and hold still for programmable set time. After that time expires, it clicks the mouse button for you. And then that would send a character in the on-screen keyboard into whatever application had the focus. And you can also dwell anywhere on the desktop in the computer. So you can go up and open up files, launch new programs, draw if you have the capability to draw, or do computer-aided design work, word processing, pretty much anything somebody can do with a regular desktop mouse or keyboard. So a person could only move their head has complete access to a computer just like the rest of us. And that same technique also works on augmented communication devices, Android tablets, Chromebooks, Windows machines, Mac machines as well, because the head mouse is just a USB mouse. And so as far as the device knows, it has a desktop mouse connected to it. And then we also make some switch interfaces that will plug into computers and those augmented communication devices, but also plug into an iPad so you can scan your iPad using switch control. And we make also little small 2.5-inch diameter switches, adaptive switches, that we call Orbi switches, for using to access anything that can use a regular 3.5-millimeter switch. And also we have sip and puff switches as well. And we have one that you can also plug directly into an iPad, so that you could scan switch control using SIP and PUC. So anyway, we cover physical access, people that have physical access issues for accessing computers and augmented communication devices.
Pretty fascinating what you can do at this point.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. And how did you come about? Maybe a little bit of company history, just as an additional piece of interest?
Well, we the principals are out of the aerospace business, and we used to make different sorts of radar and systems and things years ago, and so we decided to use some of that technology and work on some other products out in the assistive technology market. So we made head tracking devices, and so that's what our head mouse is an optical tracking device. And so that's kind of how we got started in the business.
Excellent, excellent. And do you have anything perhaps that you're not exhibiting here that's around the corner that people would find interesting?
Well, we're always working on new versions of our head tracking and trying to solve some other problems, like, for example, getting on iPads is a high priority. And have some different sorts of switch interface products coming along as well. And just making everything smaller, cuter, and more performant. But nothing specific right now.
In any case, that's some pretty interesting stuff. So thank you for taking the time. And again, this is Joshua Loya with the Saratalk Podcast Network. And thank you, Mel Dashner of Origin Systems.
You're welcome, Joshua. Take care.
This is Joshua Loya with the Saratalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2015. I'm here, ran into Vance Craig. He's another visitor to CSUN.
Just kind of checking.
Well, not, no, thankfully not. No collisions. I'm blind. He's also visually impaired. But Vance is here checking out CSUN. I'm just curious what your impression has been so far.
Oh, I love this conference. I just wish that the exhibit hall were open more days.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I learned, in addition to learning about products that I need immediately,
sure.
I learn about things I've never heard of that I might not use this year, but I'm certainly going to be using, investigating for future use. So it serves many purposes. The amount of information one can learn here is immeasurable in value.
And what have you seen or got to feel or listen to or whatever the heck?
I see and feel. I look a little, feel a little.
All right. What has impressed you, really? What stood out so far?
Oh, well, the number of companies that are here, the number of companies, and the sophistication of the products.
Gotcha.
And the fact that, of course, I would never be able to discover as much about the products over the internet or
sure.
over the phone as I could by coming here and seeing all these companies and getting the face-to-face experience. Plus, the people that are here are
yep.
here to talk to you.
Yes.
You're not interrupting them in
yep.
the middle of a workday.
You're doing exactly what they're, you know, that's what you're here for.
So. And they're enormously informative. And I've discovered some new products, and I've learned an enormous amount of things that I would never, ever do without the conference.
Excellent.
It would never happen without the conference.
Very much. And just one last thing. If you had to pick one product that you've seen so far, you've got a chance to take a look at and feel or listen to, what product would that be that you think is most interesting to you?
Well,
and
again,
doesn't have to be one. Or, you know.
Well, being visually impaired, but being at that fine line where I can read some but not much, and so
right.
I'm using visual, but I depend on audible, and I love Braille.
Gotcha.
So I'm looking at CCTVs, I'm looking at audible products, I'm looking at Braille products. But if I have to pick one right now, right this minute, just
right,
one?
Right, right. Yeah, that's
you know,
fine.
I hate that question.
Okay,
but
all right.
If I
well,
have
so
to answer
pick,
it,
pick one or a couple, whatever.
If I'm only allowed to pick one product right now, I'm the most fascinated by the thing I've never seen until this year, which is the CCTV. Do you know what CCTV is?
Yep, yep.
The CCTV
yep.
that also talks, that has the
yes.
audible now. It's got what's called the OCR.
Yep.
And I've not seen that before. And I've been waiting for that my whole life. Well, not exactly, but at least
Well, it feels like it because of how cool it is now that you found it, I'm sure.
This is exactly what I've needed. It
yep.
did. I didn't see it last year or ever before.
Right.
And so I'm also... The fact that they're continuing to develop the products, continuing to advance them, and continuing to make progress is also a very impressive thing that you only discover at the conference.
Yeah.
So... I could go on, but...
No, that's all right. Well, thank you for taking the time, Vance.
Who are you? Why do you take these interviews?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with Serotalk, Serotalk Podcast Network, and makers of... sponsored by Serotech, the people who make System Access, DocuScan Plus, and a couple other things. So, but in any case, this is Joshua Loya, Serotalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening. Reporting from CSUN, this is Joshua Loya with the Serotalk Podcast Network. I am here with Christine, or is it Kristen?
Christine.
Oh, I was right the first time. Christine Murphy-Peck with the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. All right, I said that and didn't mess it up. All right, so how are you? And tell me a little bit about your organization.
Well, our organization is designed to enhance, further define, promote, and grow the accessibility profession. And that's everything from people who do the web design, they do the interface, they do policy and compliance, they do education and training around accessibility, that in a secondary education situation, or as trainers and educators of accessibility professionals.
Excellent. And what are some of your larger initiatives? That sounds like it's a pretty large spectrum of things to cover there.
It is a large spectrum. And as you know, working in this industry,
sure.
sort of defining what makes up an accessibility expert has been a cause of great conversation and discussion.
Sure.
So part of our work is helping to define a certification exam, both for people at sort of a basic level, and then as they move on upwards and into various specialty areas. So whether it's, web design, whether it's mobile devices, whether it's, any other kinds of technology. So
right.
that's one thing, is to put together sort of what's the baseline that somebody needs to do or know how to do or know what to be in order to be called an accessibility professional.
And do you have areas in this certification process that you're formulating do you have areas of emphasis regarding particular disabilities?
It's so broad.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we're testing two things, one of which is called the ACBOK, which is our accessibility body of knowledge. And to your point, it goes everywhere from universal design to sort of very high-end, kind of what are the definitions along the web design and
right.
implementation criteria. And we are opening that up for feedback following CSUN, middle of March.
Ooh, nice and timely then.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And we currently have our web accessibility content on there as well. So we have a body of knowledge that we're testing right now and is open for public commentary currently around digital competencies.
Gotcha.
So we're doing two at once. And that's, again, as indicated, to help define the profession, to help people know the broad range of accessibility, sort of where they fall on that continuum, and also to help us define the certification program knowledge that people are needed as they prepare for the exam.
Okay. And where can people find more information about what you do?
They can find out more information at www.accessibilityassociation.org. And once they get there, they'll see a whole host of resources and information, including our online community, IAAP Connections, which is a great lively group of members talking to each other, posting problems or questions, sharing answers with each other, sharing resources, sharing knowledge. It's really been exciting to see that grow. And that's probably one of our best initiatives that we've done over this last year.
Sounds like a great resource for people in this, as you said, a very large industry that we have here.
That's true.
Excellent. Well,
thank you again very much.
Any other final words you'd like to say before I sign off?
Please come join us. We're all about enhancing the profession, promoting the profession, helping people really do the work that they love to do and to do it well.
Excellent. For the Serotalk Podcast Network at CSUN 2015, I am Joshua Loya. Thank you for listening. Reporting from CSUN 2015, this is Joshua Loya with the Serotalk Podcast Network with Chad Hazen of AccessAmed, or AccessAmed.
Yes, sir.
And you have a pretty interesting product, pretty useful product, I think.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Thank you. Sorry. It's called a digital audio label. It's for accessible prescription drug labeling. It's a 2-inch tall by 1-inch wide, about a little bigger than a thumb drive size device that permanently attaches to any prescription packaging, whether it's flat or round, and at the push of a button, a blind, low vision senior person will be able to hear all the information that's on the print label, but in an audio format.
And this doesn't require any additional piece of equipment?
Correct. When we were developing this, that was our first criteria. We wanted something that was completely self-contained, that did not require any additional equipment, didn't have to launch an application to read a barcode. It's all self-contained on the digital audio label itself.
It seems pretty easy to use, too. I mean, it was just like a single button, I think?
Yes. Midway point on the face of it is a recess button. It is red for those who have some visual acuity. And at the push of the button, all the information will be read aloud. The patient's name is first in case there's maybe a couple people in the house that are visually impaired, to make sure the medication is yours. The second piece of information will be the name of the medication. And from there, it will have the RX number, the pharmacist number, the doctor's number, prescription number, manufacturer, shape, size, color of the medication. So all that information is accessible.
Dosage and warning, too? Or?
Yes, sir. Whatever is on the print label is on the accessible label. And if you push the button a second time, it will stop the message. So in the middle of the night, if you want to take your sleeping pill and you push the button, all you want to hear is your name and the name of the medication, you can stop it at that point, so
gotcha.
You don't have to hear
nice.
The entirety
that
of the message.
You're not also, I mean, it's very quiet. I notice you have to hold it up to your ear.
In this environment, you do, but in a quiet bedroom, it's actually quite loud.
Gotcha. So you want to be able to, in case you happen to be sharing a room with somebody, you want to be able to turn it off so you don't disturb them. Gotcha.
Yes. You could put your thumb. It's a very small. My thumb is covering the speaker grill, which is half of the device.
Got it. So you can cover it that way so it's not
yes, sir.
Quite as loud. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. And when I felt maybe the size, like a 9-volt battery, maybe a little smaller, the little thing attached to it, would you think?
Yeah,
it seems pretty tiny there.
It is. It's a pretty small footprint, especially for the pharmacist, because they're our customer. The pharmacist is the one who prepares the labels and puts them on the prescription bottles or packaging for the customer. And we wanted something that had an extremely small footprint. It actually feels good in the hand. We've had people with arthritis and neuropathy tell us, oh, it actually gives grip to the bottle. But we'd like to say it's about the size of a thumb drive, maybe a little bigger.
Sure. Okay. And you actually brought up my next question then. if somebody is interested in using this, do they contact their pharmacist, or how do they go about making this available to them for their future medications?
Excellent. Thank you. We work directly with the pharmacies. We are in some regional pharmacies right now in West Virginia and in our home state of Washington. And the process would be that we would ask you to go to your pharmacist, tell them you have seen this device or heard of this device for accessible prescription drug labeling called the digital audio label, and then in turn have them get in contact with us. We would then provide the pharmacy with what we call a starter kit, which is 100 labels, two docking stations, USB cables, and proprietary software. So the pharmacist installs our proprietary software. When the digital audio label is connected to their computer via this docking station, it will say, you have a digital audio label connected. Do you want to create a label? The pharmacist will populate some fields, hit a button to listen to it to make sure that everything is correct, send it to the digital audio label via text-to-speech technology, and the process takes about a minute to do. And so there's no cumbersome time constraints for the pharmacist to provide
which
this.
Which is really important for them.
Absolutely.
Servicing a lot of people, right?
Very busy, yep. And then they'll take it out of the docking station and adhere it to any size round bottle. We have flatback adapters where they can put it on a box or bubble packing, that type of packaging.
And what's the smallest size? Because I'm thinking, like, for myself, I don't take a lot of oral medications, but I take eye drops. And
yes,
sometimes
sir.
Those are pretty small as far as they go.
What I have experienced, because I take eye drops as well, is that my pharmacist will put it in a regular bottle, put the bottle of eye drops in a prescription bottle, and then put the label on the bottle itself.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we are not ready to bring it out for the public yet, but we're also talking about introducing a home version of this sometime in the summer, where a person will be able then to get these digital audio labels in their home, make their own recordings, and put them on over-the-counter medication, vitamins.
Right.
You know, whatever you would want to label.
That's really nice.
Our niche is still the medication. We want people to be safe, even with over-the-counter medications,
absolutely.
To be safe. And with their vitamins, to know what vitamins you're taking.
Sure. Sure. You can take too much vitamin A, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I like what you're doing here. And it seems like it has a really solid possibility for improving the quality of life for a lot of people.
We believe so. This came out of my own personal need. I've been blind since the age of 5. And it's time that, you know, the law is supporting this, and it's time that our country is getting behind this and pharmacies are getting behind this to allow us to finally be safe and independent. That's our motto, be safe, be independent.
Right.
And with the digital audio label being self-contained, it's easy. Throw it in your backpack, throw it in your pocket, whatever, and go.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And where can people find out more about your product?
You can go to our website, which is accessamed.com. That's accessamed.com. I am the director of community outreach, so I generally handle the emails and calls that come into Accessamed regarding the product. And if you go to your pharmacist and make them aware of this, we will certainly like to work with them and have this available in all pharmacies for you.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Chad. And again, this is Joshua Loya with the Sero Talk Podcast Network, reporting from CSUN 2015. Reporting for the Sero Talk Podcast Network, this is Joshua Loya, and I'm here with Mark Solomon of AI Squared. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what's new at AI Squared? You got a lot of exciting things coming up.
Yes, we do. Just to kind of bring everyone up to speed, mm-hmm. AI Squared has three flagship solutions, our Zoom Text Screen Magnification solution, WindowEyes, our powerful screen reader, as well as SiteQues, a new assistive technology that allows a website owner to incorporate Zoom Text-like features right into their site for every website visitor.
Excellent.
So kind of diving into some of the
details, sure.
Maybe we can start talking a little bit about WindowEyes, because there's just some very fresh announcements to talk about. Just this morning, we released WindowEyes 9.1.
You heard it here, folks.
So one of the big ticket items is we now officially have support for the Chrome web browser. So
Nice. Now
our customers will have more options when it comes to browsing the web. In addition, really our goal is to continue to try to provide a stable and responsive and really just a fantastic performance on the web. So the update release 9.1 is also just trying to make WindowEyes as responsive as possible, as stable as possible, even when you throw the toughest websites at it. So we're very excited for people to start to check out Windowize. If they've not tried it before, it's a great time to check it out. You can get Windowize for free if you own Microsoft Office. So if you do own Microsoft Office 2010 or newer and want to check out Windowize, just stop over to Windowize4Office, that's spelled out FOR.com, and you can download your free version of Windowize and give it a spin.
Excellent.
Maybe touching on the ZoomText side real quickly, we have expanded ZoomText to the Apple platform. So ZoomText Mac is now available. So for those that want some powerful screen magnification as well as some reading capabilities, it's definitely a tool to consider, and hopefully it'll provide some great benefits for folks that are on the Apple platform.
And what version are you on it, that one?
I don't know off the top of my head the specific version
That's
number.
Right.
I believe that ZoomText Mac has been out for more than a year now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
yeah, so we've definitely had some great feedback, and we continue to invest resources into making it as feature-rich as possible.
Excellent.
Then going to back to the Windows side with ZoomText, 10.1 is out, and now we support Windows 7, Windows 8, and the different Office versions across those different platforms, just making sure that no matter what type of platform you're operating on, ZoomText will be there to support you. We've got some innovative touch gesture support, which I think can really help people boost productivity.
Sure, on Windows 8 tablets for sure.
Yep. So you've got ZoomText gestures as well as support for all of the built-in gestures of Windows 8 and beyond. So kind of talking maybe about the future. Some things that we have on the horizon is adding dual monitor support where you can have independent magnified views on both monitors. Once again, we believe that that type of feature will really help individuals in educational work settings be more productive. So we're excited about bringing that hopefully to a future release of Windowize very soon.
Excellent.
One last piece to mention or hint at. I can't go into too much detail, but now with the expertise of screen reading and screen magnification in one company, AI Squared, we would like to try to leverage that expertise and create a solution that's going to help individuals who are progressing along the visual spectrum, who might be transitioning from a screen magnifier to a full-fledged screen reader.
So this might be a hint at a bridge product, perhaps?
Well, I can't go into too much detail here. You can certainly make some right. educated guesses about what might be coming, but we just know a lot of people struggle with that transition, and we'd like to be able to offer a solution that can help address that need. So hopefully in the near future, there might be another announcement coming out with some more details about that potential future project.
Excellent. As far as you still have the App Central and some of the other dynamics there, everything kind of progressing along with the user community there?
Yes, so going back to Windowize, we're really proud of the app ecosystem that we've created to allow individuals to add on functionality to Windowize through simple interfaces, because with other screen reading products, in order to obtain scripts and those types of enhancements, there's not really a streamlined approach, much like in contrast, the Apple Store for iPhone users or the Play Store for Android. So we wanted to kind of build upon that exciting model of making apps fun, easy to get, and really adding more features to your platform, which in this case is Windowize. So lots of good things happening with app development.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I think it's great to have a community supported aspect of the screen reader. So that is an extra nice feature that I personally appreciate very much.
Well, it's great to be a part of a wonderful community. We're here for our customers. They are the reason why we work so hard to try to create innovative solutions. So it's really just an open communication. We want to make sure we understand the needs of our customers so we can try to deliver solutions that's going to help them accomplish their goals.
Excellent. And if you have any final words, I'm happy to let you mention those now.
Maybe Sure. Well, if the podcast gets out in time, I'd encourage you to stop by booth 305 at CSUN to pay us a visit and stop by. If you don't get a chance to make it out to CSUN, please feel free to check up on us online at aisquared.com. And we look forward to continue to communicate with you and hopefully be featured on future podcasts. So once again, thanks for the opportunity to speak to you and your audience.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. And again, this is Joshua Loy with the Cerotalk Podcast Network, reporting from CSUN 2015.
Thank you for listening to part two of Cerotech's CSUN 2015 coverage.
For more information about the products or services mentioned in these interviews, check out our show notes.